escaped your notice that there was another report this week from the UN's Intergovernmental Panel on climate change. This one said scientists are 95% certain that humans are the dominant cause of global warming since the 1950s. But there's been a change in the public mood since the last IPCC report. Now, skeptics are much more visible. By highlighting mistakes and loudly questioning the consensus at every turn, they're said to have made the IPCC more cautious and more conservative. And many skeptics believe the temperature data from the last 15 years shows they are winning the arguments. Well, in a moment we'll speak to our own skeptic and believer, but first, our environment correspondent Matt McGrath has been to the Netherlands, where they've been trying a new way of bridging the gap between the contrarians and the mainstream.
The bells of the Dome Tower sing out every hour in the city of Utrecht, right in the heart of the country. Around 20% of the Netherlands is below sea level, in some places by as much as 6 metres. And if the IPCC projections about rising waters on a warming planet are correct, Utrecht could become a seaside town by the end of this century. But despite these concerns, the Dutch, according to recent polls, are among the most sceptical about the human impact on climate change. And here in Utrecht, there's plenty of dissent from the established IPCC view.
This year there's 60% more ice on the North Pole than there was last year, I think. So it's, yeah, it's iffy.
You're a bit sceptical.
Yes, I'm sceptical, yeah.
Of course, climate change has always been weird. We have ice times and things like that.
I'm not sure. I don't think it's been exaggerated. I don't think the importance is felt by the normal people.
And I'm also working hard to keep this planet clean. But man-made global warming just don't make no sense to me. But if you insist on...
The Dutch are not alone in being sceptical. In many countries, especially the US, the UK and Australia, climate dissent has grown in recent years. High-profile mistakes in IPCC reports and the involvement of figures like Al Gore have seen arguments over global warming become politicized, the left generally backing the science, the right often opposing it. For Dutch author and leading sceptical voice Marcel Krok, this development has a negative side. It has hindered open debate among scientists.
In the political climate debate, of course, there is a lot of confusion, and you will have right-wing politicians saying this is the biggest hoax ever or whatever. Yeah, you see this happening in the US.
But you wouldn't support that particular view.
No, I wouldn't support it. But that's the reason is that I am interested in the scientific debate. And what the scientists pretend to do is say, well, in the science, there hardly is a debate. And that's unfair. That's unfair to the relatively small group of climate scientists that are skeptical and that are willing to speak out. And they are more or less, they have been excommunicated by the field.
Rush hour in Amsterdam. Despite being one of the world's most densely populated countries, the Netherlands is also one of the most peaceful. Consensus is a cornerstone of government and social policy. So too when it comes to climate change. The Dutch are the only government in the world to give money to skeptics, funding the critical analysis of Marcel Krok, and they are also promoting discussions between dissenters and the mainstream through a website called climatedialogue.org. One of the pro-IPCC scientists involved is blogger Bart Verheggen. He recognizes that there are several shades of climate skepticism, ranging from those who say it's all a hoax to those who accept aspects of the global warming hypothesis. But he is very wary of giving those who acknowledge some of the science too much credence. They are not occupying the center, he says. That's where you'll find the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change.
IPCC is a mainstream scientific viewpoint, and those who are very skeptical of that and who are downplaying the anthropogenic contribution to current global warming, scientifically they're not at all in the middle, even if they're not as extreme as some others out there. You can never point to someone who's even more extreme than yourself and say, therefore, I am the light of God and I'm in the middle because there's someone there who's even more loony than I am. No.
The engine will start working as soon as you
press the pedal.
Okay.
I hope so.
Oi, where we go?
On a tour of Rotterdam by electric bicycle, I'm shown some of the new plazas and underground water storage facilities that are being built to cope with the threat posed by increasingly intense rainfall and a rising sea. As planner Arno Molinar told me, this is the Dutch way. Despite the public skepticism, despite the ongoing debate about the science of global warming, Rotterdam has to deal with the practicalities, whatever the future holds.
You can have a discussion about it and wait for several years to come to get more evidence and more evidence. But in the meantime, the city is flooded.
But it doesn't matter to you whether it's human caused or natural caused or how high are the adjustments. Or in a sense, you have a problem that you have to deal with regardless of the scale of it.
Of course, we bother about the cause of the climate change. But basically, looking at the measures we have to take with respect to the water management, it's already there. So we have to act now.
Matt McGrath reporting. Well, joining us now, two sides of the debate here in Scotland. Andrew Montford blogs as Bishop Hill and wrote Hiding the Decline and The Hockey Stick Illusion. Well, Dr. Richard Dixon is Director of Friends of the Earth Scotland. Good morning to you both.
Good morning.
Andrew Montford, first of all, do you acknowledge that sometimes the language used in this debate is actually a little out of hand?
Yeah, I think that's right. I mean, the thing I've tried to bring to the global warming debate is a little bit of civilization. So, you know, I end up snipping vulgarity from both sides of the debate on my own blog, and with the result that, you know, mainstream climate scientists will come to my blog and join in the conversations now. So, yeah, I think everybody does need to tone down the language.
Richard Dixon, do you think in the past the IPCC has been a bit dismissive of those who cast some doubt on what they've said?
No, I don't think so. If you know, we're talking about a debate here, but the debate was over 5 years ago, and it's certainly over today. On the one side, you've got Andrew Montford, you've got Lord Monckton, Nigel Lawson, you've got a few scientists in the pay of the fossil fuel industry, and you've got some internet conspiracy theorists. On the other side, you've got the world's leading climate scientists who are telling you this is real, this is happening, it's already having impacts, it's going to be a disaster. Even the Daily Mail is saying it's a disaster, rather than talking about asylum seekers flooding the country with wind farms. So this is the debate is really over, and the question is...
Well, if the debate's over, Dr. Dixon, why has scepticism seem to increase over the last few years?
That's a very interesting question, and one of the reasons is that this is the second morning in a row that BBC Scotland has given airtime to the sceptical view, despite the fact that it's a discredited, tiny minority view. And why
so we shouldn't, you say we shouldn't put the other side?
Well, you shouldn't put the other side where the debate is over. So if we were talking about does smoking cause cancer, you wouldn't have someone who believed that actually it didn't, because that debate is over. If we were talking about did the Nazis really kill people in concentration camps, you wouldn't have someone putting the other side, because that debate is over. Steve Jones did a report in 2011 for the BBC Trust, and his conclusion was that the BBC was actually biasing the whole debate by giving airtime to a tiny minority view in a false impression of what they needed to do for balance. But just to say that this isn't just scientists against some other people, this is actually the world's governments, because the important thing about the document that came out yesterday, it's the summary for policymakers. It's not the big scientific report, it's the summary, 36 pages long. That is signed off by 195 governments. So the scientists do a draft, but the government signed it. So the Saudi Arabians, who want to burn lots of oil, the Polish, who want to burn lots of coal, they signed this off. So this is about as middle of the road as you can possibly get. And yet it still says we're certain climate change is caused by human beings. So
Andrew Montford,
the debate is over.
Andrew Montford, you're a denier?
Well, yes. I mean, we've just heard a very good example of what you were talking about before. I mean, Richard has compared me to Holocaust denier. He's compared me to cancer from smoking denier. Before we came on air, he was comparing me to a flat earther and to someone who believed in unicorns. I mean, he really is... trying to lower the tone of the debate, because he doesn't want to discuss the science. And the fact is, there are some great big holes in the science that are widely acknowledged by reputable scientists that the IPCC hasn't addressed. This is what we saw yesterday. And, you know, Richard can jump up and down and stamp his feet and call people names, but it doesn't actually get us anywhere. You know, it's not going to shut me up. And so, you know, people come to my blog because they want to learn about the science. And we talk about the science in a civilized fashion without the sort of bad-mouthing that Richard engages in because he doesn't understand the science.
Richard Dixon, are the Dutch wrong to have things like areas where people can get together and discuss some of this?
I think there's no harm in considering the sceptical view in its right place. I've been on the very minority sceptical view on some issues which have turned out to turn around the other way, like hormone-disrupting chemicals in baby bottles, something we're now banning 15 years ago. I was saying this is a problem, and the industry was saying, of course, it's not. So sometimes a sceptical view is very important to have there. But the ill-informed, unscientific, absolutely incorrect sceptical view just doesn't help anybody.
It can't all be ill-informed.
Well, if you've got the world's leading climate scientists and 195 governments signing this thing off, then that's a very big six-year process, very political, signed off by governments.
Yeah, it's very political. That's one of the reasons that people criticise it.
Indeed, yeah.
Well, it's political on both sides, and I have no fear of debating the science. I have a PhD in astrophysics, which is a bit better than your chemistry degree, Andrew. So let's debate the science. The science is pretty clear.
Is that an invitation?
Yes, if you like.
Well, what are your points, Andrew?
Sorry, about what?
About the science. What is
okay.
it that is wrong with the science? I mean, I know there are lots of detailed things, but what are the main points?
Yeah, I mean, the big issue as we went into the fifth assessment report was that the IPCC looked like it was going to make this statement that they are 95% certain that mankind is to blame for the majority of global warming at the end of the last century. These same computer models were the ones which failed to predict that there wouldn't be any global warming since the turn of the millennium. Let me finish. Now, they have now tried to explain this away by saying that the heat has gone into the deep oceans. But that doesn't get away from the fact it's not in their computer models. Okay? If it's not in their computer models, then they cannot make this definitive statement about pinning the blame on mankind. There's a complete contradiction between the two parts of the report. They haven't addressed that. They've ducked it. They've put the fact that their models didn't match the observations into a footnote so that in hoping that nobody would notice it. But it's there. We can all see it. And they haven't addressed it.
Okay, Richard Dixon, just what about the central point there, which is that the models said that the climate would continue to get warmer, we would have increasing temperatures. We've had a 15-year hiatus in that, a 15-year pause. Global warming would indicate, wouldn't it, that the Earth would get warmer, and it hasn't.
Well, we haven't had a pause because every decade has been warmer than the decade before for many decades.
It's not what they said in the fourth assessment report,
heat,
though, is it?
The heat being absorbed by the oceans and also the impact of La Nina is not disguised in a footnote. It's in the main text of this report, which is, after all, only the summary report. So it's quite plainly there. So the planet is still absorbing heat. Some of it's gone somewhere slightly unexpected, but it's still going there.
There's no evidence.
Andrew Montford, let Richard Dixon speak.
There certainly is. There are actual physical measurements of temperature in the deep oceans and all the way up to the surface. So there certainly is evidence of where that heat has gone.
Not deep enough.
Andrew Montford, let Richard Dixon speak.
Thank you very much. So that heat is there. The system is still heating up. The basic point of this is that the report is telling us we are headed for almost 5 degrees of warming. The current trajectory we're on is actually worse than the worst case in this report, so perhaps even more than 5 degrees. The good news is in this report is that there is time to do something about it. If we turn around emissions of climate-changing gases, we can actually stop warming at probably 2 degrees, which is the kind of a danger threshold people are talking about, although it's interesting to find a danger threshold where people are already dying. The other positive side to this is that even if we were completely wrong about climate change, which we're not, but taking action on climate change would mean we'd be insulating people's homes and reducing their fuel bills. We would make it easier for people to walk and cycle. We would have less air pollution in our urban areas, more efficient industry, and, of course, in Scotland, a vibrant renewable energy industry. So even if we were completely wrong and we do all those things, we would still have done a great deal of good.
OK, Dr. Richard Dixon from Friends of the Earth Scotland and Andrew Montford, who blogs as Bishop Hill. Thanks to you both.